Today on the Rights and Wrongs podcast, I am joined by Hamish Hallett of A Spoonful of News podcast, where we will be talking about our perspectives of the Capitol Hill riot, conspiracy theories, and a cross perspective on the UK and US political cultures and foundations. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Rights and Wrongs podcast. Welcome to the Rights and Wrongs podcast, the podcast where we talk about rights, privileges, and misconceptions. Today is not a standard episode. We are on a sidebar, so this is kind of where we talk about our own opinions on an issue. Today, I am joined by Hamish Hallett. I hope I pronounced that correct. He is the host of A Spoonful of News podcast, a podcast which basically is closer to like an NPR style, where he gives you the news of the week and does some very interesting interviews with his coffee dates as of late. But today we're going to be talking about the Capitol Hill riots, Inauguration Day, kind of looking back on a past of the past 4 years of Trump, which created to this chaos that happened, and then also the future of Biden and just kind of our thoughts of it as political podcasters. But I'll also let Hamish introduce himself. Welcome onto the podcast, Hamish. I think this is the first time you've been on mine.
Yeah, it's the first time coming onto your podcast. I just want to say a massive thank you for inviting me onto your podcast. And I know you've been onto my podcast as well. And I think that was a really good episode that we talked about. I think it was like current dynamics of human rights. That was a really cool episode on my channel. But yeah, no, I'm just super happy to be here. And yeah, it'd be a really good chat just to like diverge into what's happened in the last, you know, few weeks or so, and even the last few years of Trump and stuff. So yeah, really looking forward to this discussion with you on your podcast. So yeah, be really good.
Yeah, like the reason I had asked you on is we're both political podcasters, and like I focus on more ideas and theories, and you focus on the events, which are two important things, because you can't understand the events without understanding the theories. But you what's the point of understanding the theories and the ideas if you're not paying attention to the events? I remember you and I were talking like right after the riots happened, the riot, Capitol Hill riot. You and I both had the same instinct. I'm just going to step away from it. I'm going to wait for the facts to go, because like, I had initial opinions. You had initial opinions, but I'm like, I know I don't have the full story. There's so much chaos happening right now that I don't even know how to handle it, to be honest.
Me too, yeah.
But I think you made a good point. We're talking about it, about stoicism.
Yeah, essentially with what stoicism is, I'm not like a massive expert on it, but it's just like, it's really choosing how you react to certain external events. So for example, the Capitol event happened, and of course it was a mayhem what happened, and absolute, and I originally thought, what the hell is going on? It's, you know, ridiculous and stuff. But at the same time, you know, the event happened and you can't really control the event happening, and you kind of have to choose how you're going to react and how you're going to respond to this event. And I feel like responding to this event, I chose to be like, you know, it happens, you know, I can't control it. I'm just going to focus on what I can control, which is my reaction to these events. And I think that also applies to what's going on in the pandemic as well, actually, because with the pandemic, it's like, it's crazy. You know, you can't really control what's going on with the pandemic, so you might as well control what you can control, essentially. So that's what I think stoicism kind of talks about, I would say. So yeah, that's why I would implement that idea.
No, it's interesting too, because like, I remember the day of it happening, and it was a very, I think I took a very interesting view on it. It just because I instantly, when the event was happening, like, as I said, like, I don't know what's happening, what's going to go on. And I was just like, looked at my girlfriend and I'm like, let's watch Aristocats. And like, it sounds like weird that we watched this while it's going, because my phone's going off. But the thing is like, I'm paying attention to make sure, like, I was watching how many people died or if someone died or what's going on. And I'm trying to like pay attention to the big stuff. But the majority of it, if there's people bum rushing, which is probably the best word, like the Capitol, I'm in Scotland. What can I do about it? Like, I'm going to run into the street here and just start screaming like a crazy American. Like, they already think we're insane to begin with. So like, there's nothing I can do about it, but it was like, kind of sounds strange that as a political podcast host and a political person, like with human rights, like, why aren't you paying attention? It's just like, I don't want to pollute my idea of it, because as soon as I go on there and one person says this, it's like, it's all hearsay.
Oh yeah. Completely.
Like, if I'm going to do something on an episode on it or something like that, we're talking about it, it's just like, I don't want to get caught up on one of those bud words, get caught up in like, oh, they said this, and then focus on that track and completely ignore the more important things. Which I think a prime example about it was like, some people were like, oh, that officer was fumbling around and didn't know what he was doing with his baton. But then we found out a week later that like, he was like, I have to protect the senators. I'm the only thing. So he literally tricked the entire crowd to walk away from, like, he left the senators unguarded, but because they thought like, oh, he's going this way, we have to follow him because he's like that. And like, we didn't know that. Like, some people thought he was fumbling. And like, the truth was, is like, he might have purposed him in fumbling, but he's also trying to figure out what it is. Like, he just knew, like, I can't stop this mob on my own.
Oh, yeah.
Other times I was talking to friends and we find out, like, everyone's like, oh, the cops are in on it because they let the people in. It's just like, no, just, you have two cops with two pistols, which maybe they have 40 rounds each, 80 rounds, but they have 4,000 people in front of them with AR-15s and bats and stuff. Like, it's either let them in or we die. And it's just like,
it's difficult. Yeah. I find this is the thing. It's like, on my original reaction, I was like, yeah, what the hell's going on? Like, what the hell? And I kind of waited, I would say, a few days after the event happened to actually do my recording of the actual Capitol Hill stuff to really like dissect what it was. And I think with the whole kind of barrier stuff, which was like the two police officers, at first I was thinking, okay, that's a bit suspicious. But then it's like, if you actually take a step back and actually look into what you've said, it's like you're batting against what? Thousands and thousands of Trump supporters who might have guns, might have knives, might have a bomb. And, you know, these police officers have, you know, a handgun and that's it. Like, it's not like you're going to lose that battle, essentially. And it's, you know, I think it is. I think a lot of people want to react straight away. It's like with the news cycle or even general with people, they want to straight away react to it and pump something out, whereas they might not get the actual facts right and what actually happened in terms of their context and stuff. So I think, yeah, it's a definite interesting point that you've made.
Also, I think these cops, like, and it's interesting because people try to compare this to like the Black Lives Matter protests and riots and stuff like that. Like, yes, because they should have been better prepared.
Of course,
there's some arguments back and forth about it. Like, some people have spoken about, which is kind of true. I was talking to one, I'm not going to say who, but like, I was talking to a friend that works in DOJ and like law enforcement, and they made an interesting point, which is Trump rallies are known to be violent, but they're known to be violent at the rally. It never explodes outward.
Okay.
Which was like, that is true. Like, you see the violence in there, but like, it's true. As soon as the rally goes up, they all come back into their lifted pickup trucks or whatever, and they leave.
Yeah.
And they might drive around with their flag, and it's just like, okay, like, that's fine. Like, there is violence in a crowd mentality, but it never leaves. And like, once you think about that, like, there is kind of truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that, like, oh, everyone's, like, each side's perfect. I'm also saying that, like,
of course,
any riot's good. No riot's good. No. And private protests can get a little, but it was an interesting point that, like, why they thought about it. And they're like, yeah, it was also a mile away from the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And it's just, how many times have people in the American history said that they're going to attack the Capitol building or rush the Capitol and seize the day? Like, it's kind of a common thing in American, like, politics. Yeah. Like, no one's ever done it.
Done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, well, the last people to actually do it was, less people to attempt it were the Confederates, and less people to actually do it were the Canadians under the British control.
Mm.
But you guys burned it down.
I know, yeah. But no, I think just to touch on those kind of arguments, I think rightfully we are having conversations about, like, why was there so many SWAT team with the, you know, the Black Lives Matter protest that happened over the summer, but not much around this protest. I think it's good to have those discussions, definitely. But I also think, as much as I think it's good to have those discussions and to talk about it, I think it is good. But I also think, you know, what are we then going to, I think people like want to put on the discussions quite a lot, but then it's like, okay, well then what can we do to improve it? If you know what I mean, like, they focus too much on discussions, but not enough about the action. So it's like, well, how do we not have this ever happen again, essentially? Because it's bad. I think we should, you know. But yeah, sorry, what you were saying.
No, sorry, it's also interesting too, because a lot of the times the reason why the cops were under armored and like there's some stuff going on there, I'm not exactly how sure it is, but it kind of makes sense that they're saying that there wasn't so much riot police because of all the backlash they got during the BLM protests.
Mm.
So like, oh, during this protest, we won't do it because they're saying don't do this. And it's just like, and the thing is like, oh, you can't treat one place differently. But the truth is at that point, it's like, if you don't want us to, if you're getting mad at us for using the SWAT gear at the BLM protest, we're not going to use it at this because treat everyone. It's just like, who was the next group? And then you have the issue too. It's just like, people are like, I haven't heard it, but like, I'm hoping no one thinks that the cops had opened up because they were scared of the 4,000 people in front of them. Oh, they're cowards. They should have set their ground. I'm like, actually, no, I think those cops should be understand like what they were doing. And I'm not talking about the ones that were taking selfies with the people, like that's different, but the cops that opened up the gates.
Of course. Absolutely.
I think at the point though, is like, they were trying to take the least volatile solution because they could have stood their ground and start shooting into the crowd, but then the crowd would have won that fight. And you would have had a much angrier crowd approaching this. I think what they were doing is like, fine, we're going to stop them. But like, what are they going to do? And like, the truth is, like, it kind of reminded me, like, when watching the videos of them walking around the Senate building, it always kind of reminded me of the Joker from The Dark Knight. It's like, I'm like a dog chasing cars. Like, I won't actually know what to do if I actually caught one. Because, like, they're just walking around, kind of, like, dumbfounded. Like, they go, you got in there, and they all kind of look like toddlers. Like, a toddler that, like, tapes.
Oh, my God. Oh,
you they say that really they don't know what to do there, with what they got. Like, I
this is the thing. This is my one thing, which I'm just like, they storm the building, and then they go in, and I'm just like, well, now what? I'm like, I'm sorry, you're in the building. I mean, we shouldn't laugh about this, but like, you're in the building, right? Surely you just, I don't know, try and take it over the building and I don't know, do something. I don't know. I felt like, I don't know if you know this comedian, a guy called Andrew Schultz. If you've maybe
heard of him,
yeah. Yeah, so he was talking about this on his podcast, like comedy podcast, which is pretty funny. He kept on saying like, oh, these writers are complete utter pussies, essentially. Because it's like, you storm a building and then you don't take over the building and like, I don't know, just like wreck stuff up and stuff like that. But they just took selfies with police officers, which I'm, by the way, it's awful that that happened, by the way, not good. But it's like, you know, these writers could have literally have done something so much more, right? I'm not, by the way, this isn't me saying like I'm defending these rioters like rioting a building, but like if you're in that building and in that situation, you'd surely like try and take over the building. But they were just not, they're just taking selfies and like, you know, took a bunch of stuff and that's about it. So it's really like, you know, in that sense, it's just, I don't know, I just kind of laughed at it, like saying like you had the opportunity to storm a building to take over it and you didn't take it, right? But of course, that doesn't mean I'm defending that, if you know what I'm trying to say.
No, I get it. It's like, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah, exactly. Just do it right. Like, that's the thing. Just at least do it right.
It's, no, and like, it is strange too, because like there are alleged, like, I'm not, like, I'm still waiting to hear about, like, you're hearing on both sides, like the media, yeah. But like, some people, they stole documents, but of course they were classified documents. So like, they're not going to declassify them to tell us what they are.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
And then they were like, there are like looking for specific people and they're like, oh, they were trained and all this stuff. And it's like, told to do something to train, like, but it's just like, as you were saying, like, if they were trained to actually do it, like, I feel like they would have
done some absolute mayhem. It's like, I'm hearing some reports, like, you know, some of the riots had some bombs on them and stuff, and and all this, like, this thing, you can't, I think at the moment it's so difficult to like understand like what actually truly happened. Like, you really want some like neutral sort of like a bird's eye view of it, of the situation, to actually see what happened and not listen to some sort of view from, like, I don't know, CNN, for example, or Fox News, for example, because they just want to play off each other, essentially. And to like,
it's also,
get,
you know, people always like put Trump supporters in this one group that they're all racist, they're all this, they're all that. And it's like, it's a weird mix.
Yeah.
Like, it's really a weird mix. Like, a lot of the people that showed up to that turned into a riot. I think majority of the people that showed up to that riot were like, oh, I'm showing up to a protest and I've got a sign and I'm just going to stand here. And then all of a sudden, like, why is the crowd going that way? Okay, I'm like, they're just essentially cow moving, like, in this area.
This is what pisses me off the most, actually, about a lot of my friends sometimes do this, and a lot of our media, mainstream media, do this. It's like, they place and say like, oh, Trump supporters are just stupid and racist and stuff like that. And I'm actually doing a course, actually, at my university right now, all virtual online, which is, anyway, whatever. And it's called thank you, Corona. Yay. It's called the Rise of the Radical Right, actually. And it's really interesting, actually, to look into, because it's not just, you know, old white men, you know, dominating Trump, dominating that kind of sector of voters. It's actually like I think in 2016, 28% of Latino voters actually voted for Trump. And it showed like there's a lot, like, you can't just define Trump supporters as this is this, that's that. Like, you're not going to get to the root of what these Trump supporters are, because Trump supporters, I think, are very, I'm not trying to say, like, I think a lot of Trump supporters are not just, you know, the plain old white man, you know, they have all these economic interests. There's actually quite a lot of different interests. Like, it can be, you know, cultural, political, economic, social, you know, there's so many different things. And just to lash them into one group of people, for me, it pisses, you know, pisses me off the most. I was about to swear, but I don't want to swear on your podcast, but like, it just pisses me off the most when, you know, the media, or if it's my friends or just group of people that want to just lump Trump supporters in just one group. It makes no sense to me.
It's also interesting too, because like, traditionally the Republican Party, it's really strange, the Republican Party loves to take credit for the abolitionists.
Yeah.
Because like, Abraham Lincoln was like, there was a weird switch over, and like, there's that weird flip that happens. But traditionally the Republican Party has always been the party of business owners.
Yeah.
So it makes kind of sense when more minorities become business owners that they're going to switch to the side that's better for their taxes, where the Democratic Party is more the employee party. And I think that's a connection that, like, a lot of people, like, it's strange because they're like, Democrats are anti-gun, the Republicans are pro-gun, Democrats are pro-choice, pro-life. Like, they kind of go off the choices, but they don't ever really, like, and then they go, like, oh, like, majority of white people, like, are this, and, like, I think that it's so intersectionality, and there's so many little details about where you land on the map, because it's strange when I look at my own views, where it's just, like, if you look at on particular views that I have, okay, I'm on the left side here, I'm on the right side here. So, like, kind of, you go up, like, it's like a weird snaking way, because I consider myself a moderate.
Yeah,
but me too. But it's strange how you match it. Well, it's also funny, though, too, because depending on where we're going, by UK standards, I'm a conservative. By American standards, you're left to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, literally, or fucking communist at this point, like, you know?
So,
but you know what I mean? It's just like, no, I 100% agree with you. It's like, to try and define is, like, I find that times very strong. I struggle a lot to try and define myself. Like, you know what? I don't want to define myself politically. I want to say, like, I am a moderate, but then, of course, that depends on what the context is. But it really, yeah, for me, it depends on what the actual, like, topic is, because I'm someone who is, I wouldn't say I'm, like, I'm pro-gun. I'm someone who, yes, if people want to have a gun, have protections, you know, be mentally sane and have, you know, be fine to protect yourself and stuff like that.
Be licensed, trained.
Yeah, be licensed, be trained, you know, just don't shoot people with a gun stupidly, right? Like, just be good with a gun, right? Just act normal.
Just be a civilized human being.
Yeah, just be a civilized human being. It's not that hard, right? Not that difficult. And then, like, on, like, the whole abortion debate, like, I'm more, yeah, I'm pro-choice, just because, like, you know, it's your body, you can do whatever the fuck you want, essentially. Yeah. Like, you know,
like, we're men, like, do we really have a right? Like, I don't, like, know what it's like to carry a child. I'll never will know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who gives, you know, it's all that. But then,
why should I have a vote on someone else's? Like, yeah, that, like, is a weird, that is, like, the strange thing, though, when it comes to, it, I know this is a weird tangent, but it's, like, really strange when you talk about, like, reproductive rights.
Yeah.
It's the only it's the only part of political, like, argument that I do feel like there's a legitimate reason to say no one else, like, a part of the demographic really shouldn't have any say to it. Like, it sounds strange, but, like, we're talking about, like, other things that, yeah, they affect race, but, like, we're all part of the human race, like, race and ethnics and, like, are all these kind of these made up things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is there genetic differences? Yes, but that's just part of being part of a species. If we were all the same, we would die, because one strain of the flu could wipe us out.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to, like, it's really strange, though, too, because, like, we like to make these choices that, like, oh, you don't have a say because you're not there. I'm like, when it comes to, like, that one issue, it's, like, the only issue where I'm like, 50% of us really shouldn't have a say. It's kind of a strange, unless you're the father, I feel like you should have some say, but not the deciding. But it is a weird, interesting how that, I've always found that, like, to be a strange political area, the only place where it's like,
I do find it strange as well. I'm just someone who's like, and it's like, people who are pro-life, I'm not saying, like, those people who are pro-life, like, if you're defending pro-life in certain other circumstances, then I'm like, okay, fair enough. But, like, in this circumstance, I don't know. I just, I'm one of those people who just, dislike it a lot.
But no, we'll go back to the whole entire, it was a kind of weird tangent that we went on.
Yeah, that was like,
no, but it's also, but it is important too, when we're talking about stuff like that, it's important to realize that these fields are very complicated, for lack of a better word. It's the fact that, like, someone that voted for Trump doesn't believe every single thing that Trump said. And, like, and it's just, like, people that, and let's be honest, most people that voted for Biden probably don't agree with every single thing that Biden has to say. Like, I know I don't. Like, there's things that he does it, and it's just, you vote for the lesser of two evils no matter what. Even if you have two great candidates, you still vote for the lesser of the two evils because you're voting for the better. Like, that, it's the same thing still applies. But yeah, it is just really strange about how we reacted and how we changed to it, because, like, I honestly think the two cops that opened it up, like, they, by not shooting at them, it wasn't as destructive. And it is really good to your point, though, talking about how the fact when the rioters came in, they could have done a lot more damage. I also find it funny when they had, like, the woman coming back that they got interviewed and she was crying because she got maced. And it's just like, what did you, like, what did you expect? Like, do you expect them to come in and, like, thank you, have a cup of coffee, like, join the insurrection? Like, you've done your American, you're like, this isn't voting, you don't get a sticker. But at the same point, when you look at, but when you look at, like, the Black Lives Matter protests, like, I've seen young girls in sundresses take tear gas and rubber bullets and just take it, like, just stand there and take it and just go. And I'm like, that's the reason, another reason why I'm like, you can't compare the two. Like, one was a mob of toddlers with firearms, which is just a weird, terrifying thing to think about. And the other group, it, like, it, that's the reason I find it strange. Like, there are comparisons, but, like, they're not lack of a better word. They're not black and white comparisons.
That's the thing, because I was also speaking to, so I spoke to a guy called, you might have heard of the episode I did with, so I did with a guy called Jay Tomlinson, who is the creator of the Best of the Left podcast, which is a really good podcast you guys should check out. So essentially we were talking a lot about this kind of Capitol Hill stuff, and like, the thing is, the actual motives, let's say, behind Black Lives Matter protests in DC and this riot, essentially, you know, one is very legitimate. It's like Black Lives Matter are saying, look, stop killing us. Like, we want our voices to be heard. We want our lives to matter, right? And not just to, you know, matter more than white lives and to matter more than other lives, but to matter the same and to have our lives equally treated, right? Versus, you know, a Capitol Hill riot, which was illegitimate. You know, Trump saying that the votes, you know, the election was stolen when there is numerous evidence to prove that it didn't get stolen. And, you know, and they're storming a building over a very illegitimate claim. So it's like, you know, it's very, you know, to try and compare and to try and say like, oh yeah, both, like to try and say that both similar, or to try and compare and contrast, I think you have one protest that was legitimate versus a riot that was illegitimate. You know, it's like, it's that kind of sense of like trying to compare both. It's just, yeah, it gets quite niggly and very, I don't know, quite annoying, if that makes sense.
No, it's true. It's like a lot of the stuff that's going on are like really weird tender tantrums, where it's like, even when like I've been following like the Virginia, I believe it was Virginia, please don't burn me at the stake if I got this wrong, but one of the states I've got like a Democratic Senate in like their state, and like now they pushed a law saying that you can only buy one gun a month. Because they want to limit the limit. And I'm like, okay. But at the same point, I'm like, okay, I understand gun control. Like, I'm pro-gun control, even though I'm pro-Second Amendment. I do kind of understand where the right side on that is. Like, that's a really weird law, buying one. Because, like, if you don't understand gun culture, like, oh, it makes sense. Like, you, why would you need more, buy more than one gun at a time? But it's like, I like to go shooting. And it's like, a lot of times, like, you get deals for buying, like, discounts if you buy multiple. But also, it's like, if I'm going to go out, like, I want to get into hunting, but, like, I'm going to need a shotgun for bird and a rifle for deer.
Yeah.
Like, I need two different weapons. I understand limiting maybe, like, only 6 guns for every 6 months or 12 guns a year. Like, if you want to limit like that, but, like, put it in a larger, like, if you don't want me to buy that many, just, like, one a month to seem like a really strange thing. Because, like, it is different, too, because, like, I'm from Massachusetts where hunting culture isn't as big. But you're putting this on a state where hunting culture is huge, and like, you might want to update your firearm for some reason to go for a legal, recreational, or food bearing purpose. And like, that's one of the weird times where I'm looking at this is like, I understand why the people are protesting, but the way you are why you're protesting, I understand why you have an issue with this new policy.
Yeah.
But is an armed protest really the route you want to go? Because like, I'm trying to be your defendant, being like, okay, I understand, because for hunting. But now you're standing in front of the Capitol building with AR-15s and AKs. There's like, I feel like you have the right to have as long as you're licensed. But like, are you really helping your argument at this point? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if you've heard this argument before, but it's like, you can agree. Okay, I don't want to say agree, but it's like, I find, now I don't think there's any right way to protest, in my opinion. I think there's never, you know, oh, this is the right way to protest, and this is the wrong way to protest. But I think, because I think protest is protest, and I think sometimes if it gets violent, then I don't think it's on its, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but it's like, there's, I think people trying to like make and define like what's a good protest and what's a bad protest, and it's very difficult, because I think it really depends on what your, it fits with your biases quite a lot, because I could say, okay, I'm protesting this and we storm a building, but we're doing it for a good cause, right? Or someone could say, this protest is bad because they're doing it for a bad cause, right? So it does this whole kind of like, what's a good protest and what's a bad protest really does fit in a lot with biases, if that makes sense. I don't know where I was going with that, but like,
no, I kind of get it. It's a lot of like, the one thing I've been focusing on a lot, which kind of feeds into one of my like key words that I always say, is like, I always tell people, like, you have to understand to agree, but you don't have to agree to understand.
Yeah.
And this feeds a lot into like these issues, because it's like, I hate to keep going back to firearms, but it's just like, it's a very prominent conversation that a lot of people have. But like, you have this term called common sense gun control. But the problem is with common sense is, common sense, and people always go, common sense isn't a common virtue. And I'm like, I think a better, like, yeah, I could see why people say that, but I think common sense is not a common standard, is a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in the city. So yeah, I didn't grow up hunting, so I don't know what proper common sense gun control would be by your standards. Yeah. But at the same point, if you grew up in the middle of Indiana, you probably don't understand the common senses of riding the subway and how to ride the subway safe, or you don't understand how to hail a taxi.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a big thing with Uber anymore. But what common sense of a city person is and common sense of a country person is two totally different things. Like, I might not know what poison ivy is, but I know don't go near down in a dark alley at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Like,
it's... Oh, yeah, yeah. Completely. So it's, yeah, exactly. It's like the whole, it's just the whole perspective of people changes so much. It's like people on different paths and different, and some people are like further ahead in their paths and some people are like behind their paths. And that sense, it's like, you can't just assume like, oh yeah, that's just stupid. Be like, okay, well, try and put yourself in their shoes to like, okay, why are they protesting? Why would they want to storm a Capitol building? And that doesn't mean like you agree with it. You just need to find a way of understanding. And once you kind of like understand, I feel, it's like you can then just start to actually have these conversations with these people. It's like, at least you have a starting point to like, okay, I understand why you want to protest. Even though I don't agree with your protest, we can at least find a way to find common ground in that sense. Because I think that's what I think needs to happen.
Well, it's just interesting too, because it really does show like white privilege or just privilege of being heard, I think is a huge thing, because it's a good point. Because like we're talking about common sense, like what is a good way to protest? And the reason why the protests at BLM and like other organizations get so loud is because we weren't paying attention to them. They have to be loud because we're ignoring them. And it's like when they're being the peaceful protesters, it's peaceful and it's nice and it's so quiet, I can just walk past you and ignore you, which that's the reason they need to make the ruckus. But then it's interesting with like the other side. It's like when someone from the Proud Boys make a statement, like you kind of pay attention to them just because we know what that organization is, but then we're like, okay, we're going to ignore you. And then they're not used to getting ignored, but then they just kind of like upped the ante on like how to create, like to get. And I think that was a very strange thing about the difference between the BLM riots and this riot was a protest can turn to a riot real quick. You just need two or three troublemakers in a crowd of 1,000, sit there and throw some rocks at a cop. The cops don't know who did it. They're going to come in trying because you're throwing rocks at us. They just see the cops come in because they're in full battle rattle and then riot. Instant riot. Mm-hmm. But this was just kind of a strange thing because it's like, this is it kind of reminded me of those images from like the French Revolution of like storming the, storming the battery. It's a different term. I don't know why, like it's the arsenal or something like that, but storming like the castle basically. And you have the woman with the flag and like all that and just like, okay. But it was just like, I don't know. It was just a very strange thing to watch because it was a very slow storm as well. Like they weren't really.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
When you compare it to like, the Catalina riots, like those were like fast motion, a lot of stuff, cops clashing and stuff like that. This was just like a very slow tide of storming. I don't know. Like it was a very, it's strange to think of because like one, like you can't believe it's happening, but two, it's just like, it wasn't really well coordinated. And it just like, as we said, like, I think it's just a lot like the Joker reference. Like they're just chasing cars. Like they don't know what to, like they got into the Capitol and they're like, not what everyone, but like a lot of people just storming around taking selfies, taking pictures.
Yeah.
You have the QAnon shaman. Like it was just a very strange thing. Cause like you said, like when you think of someone storming the castle, you think of things like Olympus Has Fallen or White House Down, or like all these movies where it's like these very elaborate, like militarized things.
You know what they should have done, right? They should have took some influence from those films. I'm not saying they should have done, but like, but it's like, they should, I don't know. Anyway, I hope, don't soundbite that and take it quite literally.
It really, it's just like a strange thing because you always hear people talk about the Boogaloo and like the Civil War will happen again. Yeah. And it kind of has happened, but it's just like, wow. Like if this is the Civil War, like I'm not joking, saying like it's just like a fun thing to joke about, but it's just like, if this is anything to show for the future, like I'm really not that worried. A bunch of overweight guys with beards walking around with baseball bats, like, it's not a great image, but it's just like...
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I looked over. I mean, from a UK perspective, I just looked over it and I was just like, wow. that's what you got. Like, hold on, you storm a building and then you take selfies, not, oh, we're going to take the building, you know, stay there for as long as possible. I don't know, like, you know, whatever, right? It's like, you're going to do that. You can take selfies and that's it. Like,
but I hope anyone that's listening doesn't think we're taking complete light of this, because the truth is they were trying to kill some of those editors. They did kidnap. Like, there were people in there that wanted to do damage. And
yeah, of course.
Thankfully, they weren't competent enough to actually do it.
Yeah.
Like, but it was such a... No, and it was just a really strange thing to watch, though, because, like, here's the one thing I always find really strange. People are like, oh, they're military trained and there's veterans going through there. It's like, I didn't see anyone sweeping. And I'm not talking, like, with a broom. Sweeping is when you actually pull your rifle up and start chasing. Like, if they wanted to do damage and actually do it, like, they could have done damage. They had the equipment, even with the, like, they outnumbered the cops, like, 30 to 1. It was just a very strange situation to deal with, because when you compare this to, like, other capitals being, like, when the Colombian Capitol building was attacked in, like, the early 80s, and, like, that was actual true militian attack.
Yeah.
Or you're looking at, like, a lot of these other things from, like, revolutions. It just, this was a very, it was just so strange and just so, I don't know how to do it. Like, I know we're kind of making joke of it, but, like, it's one of those situations, if you don't laugh about it, you're going to cry.
you kind of have to, with these things, it's like, you kind of have to joke about it. Like, that's the only way of just trying to, like, I don't know, like, process it. It's like trying to process, like, the pandemic right now. Like, I'm just trying to be like, you know what, it's bad. Like, you know what? I'm just trying to make a joke about it and just be like, you know what, at least this is not happening to me, kind of. It's like, you know, and I think us as human beings, it's like, I think with a lot of events, sometimes we try and, like, as much as we might try and cry about it, it's like we might as well try and find some, I don't know, sense of humor out of it, or I don't know, some positive out of a negative situation. It's like, as human beings, we do have that common trait, and I think maybe we're just trying to do that with this.
Yeah, and it's just, no, it was just a very strange situation. And, like, I know some people are going to go, like, there were people in there with, like, firearms and, like, going around searching for people. And, like, we're not saying that didn't happen. We're not trying to put out some, like, Republican propaganda. That was a peaceful protest. Like, you broke into a federal building, like, the federal building.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, but it was really strange, though, when you go fast forward into the inauguration day, and there was more troops in the Capitol than we have in countries that we were at war with in the last couple of decades. And it was like, it was a little strange. I know you were talking about, like, what you were, the troops that were, like, sleeping in the Capitol building, like, laying on the floor and stuff. And it was just so strange to me, because, like, I've done that, like, and it's weird, because, like, most vets will tell you, like, that's probably the most comfortable sleep you'll ever get, because your armor is just so warm and cozy. And it sounds weird, but, like, I've slept using my helmet as a pillow is some of the best sleep I've ever gotten in my life. I don't know why.
I can't even, like, from someone who has, like, zero military sort of, like, experience or influence, I'm just like, what? And that's the thing, because I was always, because before we came on, I was kind of, like, wanting to ask you, like, what was your opinion on, like, the whole National Guard, sorry, sleeping in a car park? And I was like, I was like, what? This is disgraceful. What the fuck? Like, why is this happening? But then when you were talking about it with me, I was like, oh, okay, right. So it's not like, you know, some of those members might have done something similar, so it's not like,
oh, everyone's used to sleeping in a tent
thing. Yeah, exactly, right? It's not this whole ridiculous thing that the media is completely blown out of proportion. I mean, I think, because I was speaking about this on my podcast, I think on an episode, maybe on the last episode I was speaking about it, I think I kind of said, like, it was quite, it looked bad on the US kind of government, like the fact you're, you know, seeing National Guard members in their home country and in their home, you know, the capital state, sleeping in the car park. As media wise, it looks pretty bad. But when you actually dissect it and actually get, well, if you have, like, an army perspective, let's say, from, or like the military perspective from you, it doesn't actually sound as, it's not as bad as it actually is, kind of,
it,
if that makes
sense.
It
was disturbing, though, I have to say, okay, because the way that they were sleeping, it's like, I slept like that, I've done that, but the way they're sleeping in their body armor, or their body armor next to their rifle around them with a magazine inserted, like, that's how you sleep in a military. Like, that's how you sleep in the military, but that's how you sleep training to go to Afghanistan and Iraq, or how I slept in Afghanistan or Iraq. Like, your armor's always next to you, your rifle's, like, wrapped around your leg, like, so no one can yank it, like, it's a weird boot camp thing.
Yeah, of course.
But no, but, like, sleeping with a rifle is something that's very used to it. So the actual thing they were doing was out of place. Where they were doing it at was creepy, because the way that they were is, like, sleeping like that is common, but that's quick reaction force.
Sure.
It's QRF.
Yeah.
So you're doing that because if something breaks out, you're doing that. But it's creepy. Like, usually you on a military base, you only have maybe like 10 or 15 guys on QRF on an actual combat thing. So the rest of us are sleeping out of our body, like in like our jammies or whatever you want to call it. And you have a few infantry guys and stuff like that. And like, they're on QRF that night. And they can, something happens, they're the guy who like get up first so they can engage the enemy while the rest of us put our gear on. They're the buffer zone. That's why it's quick reaction force, because if something's really bad, they need to, we're going to ramp up and everyone gets out. But the fact is, everyone there was QRF. And you're talking thousands of troops of QRF. Like, that isn't building in a normal military sense. That's preparing for battle, which that's what threw me off. Seeing that many people in that position, that was strange. And then you also had like the famous photo of the soldier passed out next to the plaque that was currently the last time that troops were in the Capitol building during the Civil War. And they're like, oh, like, this is so iconic, which are like that one soldier, or like that National Guardsman or woman, I'm not sure what, was there. They just saw, oh, no one's sleeping here, I'm going to sleep right here. And I'm not paying attention to the plaque they're sleeping on.
No, screw it.
They just saw an empty spot.
Fort sleep. Because that's the thing. It's like images always, you know, sometimes people want to try and like say like, oh yeah, images tell 1,000 words. But it's like, does it? Sometimes does it, like, sometimes an image might tell you 1,000 words, but it also creates different contexts, and with or without the context, you know, it's like sometimes you can interpret this image so many different, like, I can interpret it as, oh my god, this is super bad, but then you can interpret it as, no, the person just found a different sleeping spot, for example, right? So it's like you have to find that context. And I think, you know, the media sometimes, as I'm sometimes complain a lot about, is they just want to sell money, they want to sell stories just for money, and like they put that image without the context and they just do it as a way of, oh, look at this, what's happened here. You need the actual context of it, of the actual thing. I don't think the media has had that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and like inauguration day was a big day because it's a few times every 4 years we have majority of the leaders of the nation in one place. Like, if you're going to attack, that's the time to attack, because like, you have a designated survivor, and they'll know from TV show and stuff like that. But think about, like, everyone that was there. Like, if you had one of those people that really believed that President Trump won the election, and you wanted to take out everyone and be like, see, well, President Trump has to take it back because he's the only one with the experience of the job, and he just fought. So clearly, like, we need to have a recount of the election because Biden's, like, if you want to do something crazy like that, that would be the time to attack. So it makes sense to do that, because yeah, you had the people claiming miscount and fraud under like the Bush when he first won. But it never got to this level. Like, this is a first for America of just inserting. And like, that's the only thing I also want to push is, like, I know we're making light of this and it's just bizarre, but it is bizarre. Like, I don't, there's some scary stuff out there, but the thing is like, then you realize what these people believe in, such as like Pizzagate. And some of these other things, and like, people think the military was there because they're going, like, I've read this on a few things and I've heard a few people say, like, the military's there to arrest Biden because, like, he stole the election. And it's just like, at one point I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, that makes no sense. But it's like, if the military then turned around and did arrest Biden, like, I'm like, I don't think I would be surprised. And it's not because of the fact that I believe Biden is guilty. It's just, I just kind of lost faith in Americans at this point. Like, I don't know. Because we're so used to being lied, because, like, Trump is correct about one thing and the news can be fake.
It's a bit more wacky, yeah. I think, what do you mean by the news can be fake? It depends on what news you're talking about, personally.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, there are, like, if you watch the news will come out, like, as you and I were talking about, we're going to step back and, like, not give out false information because we don't know the facts, but people are going to go and say this is the fact, and like, no, that's an opinion.
Sure, that's fair enough.
But like, people believe certain things, and it's like, everyone I think will agree to some point the media is fake. But like, okay, if this is an accepted thing, the media is fake, but you then disregard the actual factual media and claim that to be the fake news and listen to the unfactual media claim that's the real news. And it's just because, like, here's the thing I'm going to say is, when people are talking about like a lot of stuff that QAnon's talking about, the thing that's kind of scary is enough of it is based in reality of fact. Are there sex child rings in the United States? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I think that these characters are part of it? Some of them maybe, some of them I don't know. Is like, and that's a whole other thing. And it's just like that. Like, there's enough reality of crazy enough of truth in there. Like, the stuff that QAnon's saying, for the most part, besides the lizard people and the aliens and a few other things, there's some things in there like they could be true. Do I think they are? No. But is there a, if they came out to be true, would I be like, that's impossible? No, like some of it could, like this other weird, America's had weird conspiracies of stuff that we didn't believe was true and found out that it was.
Becomes true. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. Conspiracy theories are, sorry to interrupt, like conspiracy theories can be like, some of them sound ridiculously just like, what, that would never be true. But then it comes like a few years later, it actually comes out to be true. And it's like, I don't know, for me, I'm not someone who's like, I don't know, like an expert conspiracy theorist or has really looked, dived into these, to that area. Cause I don't dive into the rabbit hole, you know, and just like,
yeah, it's a dangerous place to be.
This is the thing. It's a very, yeah, very dangerous thing. And I'm like, I don't want to go into that kind of hole, but I think conspiracy theories, I think it has its place because, well, that's quite a dodgy thing to say, but like, I don't know. I agree with you in the sense that it really depends on what your position or like how you perceive the world and how you perceive truth, I think. And I think you may think something as wild as a bloody, like there's lizard people, you think that's true, right? Someone could think that, but I would think that's completely nuts of bonkers. It's that whole, like, kind of argument.
But it's also like you have the whole entire thing, and I'm not, this is all I just find funny, is flat earthers were considered strange back in like ancient Greek times. Like they knew the earth was round, so it's like, yeah.
Pretty round of
like flat earth. But the thing is, like, flat earthers are a thing, and but if that's your belief, okay, that's your belief. It's just a very strange thing, because the problem is, like, with the world of the internet, though, is we only know what we know. And I think one of the craziest things that is kind of true is, like, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in I don't believe in any like greater or higher being. Like, I don't know, maybe some alien species created us and made us an experiment, which were their reality TV show for all we know.
That'd be crazy if that happened, but yeah, no.
But just think about this season. It must have been amazing for them. Yeah. Like, 2020 is the God. Best season.
Oh yeah, completely. Mate, I'll definitely tune in. Like,
but the truth, but when you think about it, just what the truth is, like, you have to think about when it comes to faith. Like, I have to have faith that the scientists that are telling me what science is. It's like, I don't understand relativity. Like, yeah, I know E=mc², but I don't know what that actually means. Like, I know what each thing stands for, but like, that's just Albert Einstein. Like, well, we trust him on it. Like, we just take his faith on that. Mm-hmm. And like the stuff that Stephen Hawking says, like Stephen Hawking says, like, I take him, like, he was the leader and like he's one of the greatest minds our world has ever had, but like I can't go up and like challenge him. Like, so the truth is like, when it comes to science, like, I kind of understand that because I am taking faith in science. And like, science in itself is a giant conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
if you were thinking, but the Big Bang Theory is a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy of how a bunch of molecules decided to create everything. Which, when you think about it, that in a political sense, like, that's more insane to believe than some other stuff. But I take that as fact. So when I look at it that way, I can kind of understand. I don't agree, but like I said, I can understand how someone can get to these strange delusions. And like, conspiracies have happened. If you look at American history, like not just American history, but world history, there's some crazy stuff that happened. And people will believe some really insane things. Like, that's the only thing, is like, I'm trying to, like, I think like that, but like, some of these things I could be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But there is a possibility.
Oh, completely. I mean, any sort of theory that goes out there, potentially, I don't want to say like every single thing is utterly true, but like, you know, I think right now, like, you've got these kind of these anti-vaccine sort of theories, which are like huge right now. And it's very, like, for me, I think it's very, very dodgy because of that. And
I just want to say, for one thing, vaccines don't create autism.
It's tricky
autism.
With this, because it's like, I understand why certain people, sorry?
No, I just want to say, like, anyone, when we talk about anti-vaccines, like, the vaccines don't cause autism. Like, I just want to put that out there. I didn't mean to cut you off, but
cool.
It's just like,
yeah, I'm tired of course. No, I know. But like, that's the thing, because it's like, yeah, all that kind of like conversation about that, it's, I mean, I don't know. It's like, people want to say, oh, it's body autonomy and stuff, but it's like, ugh, I don't know. You know, it's like, there's those kind of theories out there as well, which is like, yeah.
No, it's true, because it kind of goes back to like that whole other conversation we have. It's like, oh, we don't think we have a right to tell someone to put their body when it comes to abortion. But like, that doesn't affect me. You not getting a vaccine, that affects me.
That does affect you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, completely. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just like what you said, like anti-vax.
No, don't worry. Because I think, yeah, the connection went a bit bad, but that's okay. It's all good, though.
But did you have anything else that you wanted to add about the craziness of, like, what is your perspective of America coming from someone that just grew up and studied politics from the UK? Like,
bloody hell. So my current perspective on my current perspective of American politics right now, I think over the last 4 years it's just been mayhem and craziness, but I think I kind of have some sort of like I see some similarity with us as well at the moment because of Brexit and what happened with Brexit over like, you know, 4 years or 4 or 5 years ago. Wow, God, like 4 or 5 years ago as well that happened. So I kind of feel like when Trump came in and when Brexit happened in the UK, I was like, okay, right, you know, it's pretty similar, but we're going through this kind of patch of like instability and things like that. But now after, you know, Brexit's happened and now Trump's kind of out of power, from looking at it, it seems like Biden is trying, from what I can see, is trying to install this sort of like stability kind of thing and trying to reverse a lot. Because I think he's done a lot of like executive orders already.
Yeah, like yesterday he just made it to force the Department of Justice, not the Department of Homeland Security. And like, this is a federal thing. So like, this isn't really, it affects state prisons to a degree, but not completely. But he's now passed a really big thing where he's telling the Department of Justice to end all private prison contracts.
Prisons. Yeah, I've seen that actually. That's huge. That's really, really big actually.
But that maybe like, that, like 20% of prisons like actually fall under federal prisons, because most are state, county, it doesn't count for Homeland Security who operate the immigration prisons. But it's a step in the right direction, but
still a big direction and stuff.
But yeah, like that's one of the 100%. Bigger ones he's just put besides the 100 days of wearing a mask.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, from that kind of perspective, it seems like, yeah, Biden is trying to at least, I don't know, try and restore some sort of order within, you know, an orderless right now United States, maybe, I think. And it's, I don't know, I think it'll be interesting. I think for me to look into like domestically how, you know, the next few years will be under Biden, but also in terms of like maybe his foreign policy as well. Because I did an episode actually with the Moderate Voice of America actually talking about his relationship with China, which I think will be interesting. So I've done that podcast with him. I think it's a guy called Derek, I think it is. It was a really interesting episode, but I don't know. I think it'll be interesting in the next few years. I find it'll be a lot of stability, stability is maybe the right word, but just I think hopefully some sort of stability that we haven't had for the last 4 years in the United States. That's where I feel it.
Well, that's the other thing about what's going on with the current world that we're in is I don't know what to expect with all this. Like I don't envy Biden for what he's going to go through. I think he's going to deal with a very harsh world. I think he may be the first president to, it's going to sound weird, but I think like the only president in a similar boat was like Andrew Johnson in a lot of ways, coming in after like a crazy chaos across the thing. Like, I don't agree with a lot of Andrew Johnson's policies, but like he wasn't handed a amazing nation or time of prosperity to begin with. But it's also, we don't know the names of the presidents that were, like most presidents that we don't know were usually presidents during pretty good times. Like,
yeah, that is true.
Because like the Clinton administration, for the most part, I don't know too much about. Same thing with, I don't remember too much about the Bush senior administration, other besides like the 100-hour war, and then like you're going back, like, but we know like the president's under like great chaos. Like, we know FDR, we know Teddy, we know like a lot of them. So it's going to be interesting. I'm pretty sure Biden is going to be a president. Both Trump and Biden are both going to be presidents that are going to be have their own sections in history books. Just because even though Biden hasn't done much yet, like he's done a lot, but like he hasn't even touched the tip of the iceberg of what he's going to be doing.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be a footnote president.
I know what you mean. Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Because I feel like the same thing with prime ministers in the UK. Like, there's so many prime ministers, but like, what are the ones we remember? We're going to remember Boris. We remember Churchill.
Of course,
yeah. And we remember, why can't I remember her name right now?
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, her.
Yeah. No, it's true, actually. I agree with that. Because I feel like, if I could take more of you, like a UK perspective, you remember the prime ministers that make the massive like amount of change. And I think Margaret Thatcher, for example, is a huge one. I think she changed the way the UK is And I think because of her, the United Kingdom is now where it is right now, like in terms of its like free market support of it. I think she was the first person to really implement that. And like people like Tony Blair, for example, I think is a pretty big one as well, because he changed the Labour Party to what it is now, essentially. And yeah, exactly. I think you kind of look into the comparisons between the United States presidents and the UK prime ministers. Yeah, I think you do remember the ones that either implement the most amount of change, good or bad change, most of the time. And yeah, I think, I don't know what Biden will be like, if Biden will be the one, you know, implementing loads of change, and that's good change or bad change. And I don't know, I think, because I don't know, I do hope, for me personally, like in my personal opinion, I do hope Biden finds a way of trying to like stabilize the United States a bit and to not have this complete instability. But will he do it? I don't know. It's you know, you don't know what's going to happen, you know.
It's just such a craziness. But we are coming towards like close to an hour. I was going to give this time for you, if you want to talk about your podcast for a little bit. And while you're talking about that, anyone that's a listener that's live, and if you're listening to this as a recording, I always give a chance for the audience, because I do stream on Twitch. I might be switching to other platforms, but right now I'm on Twitch for live broadcasting. If you have a question, come on, ask live, and you can ask for me, you can ask it for my guests at this point, Hamish. And while they're writing their questions, I'll let you talk about A Spoonful of News.
Nice. No, thank you. So essentially A Spoonful of News is where I essentially take the events of the week or the news of the week and present it in a very condensed and detailed manner. Because the reason why I started it was because we have so much news out there, so many stories out in the world, and it's just loads of noise at the moment. And I think I really wanted a podcast that just tries to like silence the noise and just take certain stories which are quite important of that week and just present it. And, you know, saying like, right, these four stories, you need to listen to these, because these are four stories are important over everyone else, other stories in this world. But I also invite really good guests on, like who offer from different industries and who offer different perspectives as well, to do something called Coffee Dates, where Coffee Dates is essentially more of a sit-down chat like this, actually. Sit-down chat where we just, you know, talk about their journeys and in their industries, and also just get into a bit more of a like tangent-like episode where we talk about like a topic and go in different directions as well of our choice. So that's what A Spoonful of News is. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your listening platforms. So yeah, definitely check it out. So,
no, and I've been really enjoying the Coffee Dates. I also enjoy your, like, I love when I put on, when I see you come on a Monday for your podcast, because I'm like, okay, I'm going to get like a lot of the news, because it's interesting. I'm not sure how you feel about when you listen to other podcasters, but you pick up on things that are happening that I missed, because I'm too busy focusing on this topic. So like, I didn't know that this happened somewhere else. And that's the reason I enjoy listening to other podcasters, because for that exact reason. And I do enjoy your Coffee Dates, because it reminds me of my sidebars, just because it's a nice time. Like, I want to say, like, you can kind of put your feet up.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
Talk less about, you're not so worried about getting the facts down. And it's like, I feel like it's almost like a therapeutic session.
You know what? Absolutely. You know, you hit that on the nail. Oh my God. Literally, it's actually so true, because the thing is, I don't, for my Coffee Dates normally, I prepare some questions and stuff, but I actually really just want to listen to this person. Like my guests, just to speak and just be like, you know, did it, and just speak about their journey, and I can just then like listen and actually then go back and forth with this person. Because sometimes with like, yeah, with like my monologues stuff and like talk about the news, it's really good, like I enjoy that, but sometimes to prepare for it, it's a lot, like I have to do a lot of research, get it right, get the facts right, like say, phrase certain things correctly, so I don't, you know politically correct world right now, but like, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whereas with my Coffee Dates, I'm a lot more relaxed and it's a lot more chilled, if I'm being honest. And it's nice just to get, and also invite guests on which I don't normally have on, like one, I think, reason, I mean, I won't actually say now, but having someone coming on who I just randomly contacted me and said, oh, this person would be a really good guest for your podcast. I'm like, oh, wow. And it's just, and those kind of random things happen. So yeah, absolutely. Like, I find Coffee Dates are really nice and relaxing.
That's what I enjoy about this, and this reason I did the sidebar, like, I love having you on for the sidebar. This is great. It's a lot of times because I want to talk to people that aren't quote-unquote experts in their field.
Yeah,
because like, you and I aren't experts, we're still getting our feet under our
ground. Completely.
Like, so when I'm getting on someone, I'm like, I've had Jerry Barmish, who's been a news anchor for 30 years, like, okay, I'm fine calling him an expert, or Dr. Hatvinion, who has a PhD in social psychology. Like, they're experts. Like, I don't, like, when I have them on, like, they know what they're talking about. But at the same point, it's just like, you don't have to have a PhD or 50 years of experience in a field to have an opinion that matters. But at the same point, we also have to realize, like, these, for at certain points, it's opinions are, conversation on opinions are important, but don't give them the same, put them in the same lane or avenue or place as the facts, if that makes any sense. And I think it's a, and I think it's important to keep the things, because like, one, it's therapeutic. And no, I feel that the same way. Like, it, I don't like the term politically correct. I try to go for academically correct, because politically correct, I always feel like focuses too much on the emotion. And it's like, I want to be academically correct, because I want to make sure when I use this term, everyone, regardless of the field, understands what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Completely. Where I feel like politically correct terms change from place to place. And it's like, I'm not looking for the politically correct. And it's not that I'm not trying to go out. I'm not saying it's all right to insult people. It's just one of those things. Is if as long as I'm trying to stay on my journey being academically correct, if I insult you by saying something, okay, maybe this is something we have to change in the academia and change in the overall conversation. Or two, it might be a you problem. Like, that's a thing, but...
To be honest, it goes back to what I was saying about stoicism. You know, it's like, if someone says something or someone does something, you can choose how to react to it. You can be offended, you can be upset, you can be angry about it, but that's on you. You're choosing how to react to it. So, like, this isn't me saying, like, if someone literally says something racist or says something like xenophobic, like, of course, like, I would be the person to be like, you shouldn't probably say that. You shouldn't say that. That's pretty untrue, whatnot. But like, you know, you choose how to react. I think sometimes when someone says an opinion that you don't agree with, some people choose to be very upset by it. And I feel like, you know, I think people just need to be a bit more stoic. I think that's stuff.
Well, that's true, because for the most part, academically correct and politically correct are in line with each other most of the time.
Mm.
And when they're not, I think that's a good time to pay attention.
Yeah.
Why aren't they different? And because the truth is like, sometimes, like, it's very interesting, like, a lot of the way the academically correct is African-American.
Mm.
But the politically correct is Black-American. And, like, when I think about it, and when they explain why it's Black, it's like, you might be from Jamaica, or you might not be, like, are they, like, I've been here for 600 years. Like, I've never, my grand, like, you're so far removed. Like, I find it weird when people ask me, like, what are you? I'm like, oh, I'm American. No, but where are you from?
Yeah,
America. Where's your grandfather from? America. It's like, I understand that same argument. So at that point, it's like, okay, I think the politically correct term at that point should replace the academically correct term.
Yeah.
But when you have organizations and groups that are defining terms, and I'm like, yes, if you're a part of the LGBTQ community, you should define what certain terms mean. But it does also get confusing, because the acronym keeps changing and I can't keep up with it. And it's like, not that I don't want to, it's just add a new letter. I don't know what that letter is. I'm not going to use it until I know what that letter is.
Oh yeah, no, that's absolutely. No, that's actually very true, because they do. This isn't me saying like it's a bad thing. It's like, it's good that, you know, there are more terms and more, you know, what they identify with. It's good that they are, because I think it's good, because I think they are now saying, like, defining a bit more of these like kind of terms and genders and all identities. I don't want to like say what the, I don't want to say the wrong word, but just like, yeah, just like what the identities and stuff. I think it's good that we are having those kind of conversations, and what the right or the academic term is in that sense. Yeah,
it gets confusing, and I think that's important. But I didn't get any questions, but I have an important question for you.
Oh, okay.
So here, this is getting down sensitive. If I sent you back to the British Parliament in 1774, and you had all the history of America from 2020, do you think you could repeal the tax on tea and paper?
What? That's such a random question. I was thinking, like, okay, this is going to be like, do you, okay, you want me to, if I had all the history of America.
In 2020. And I sent you back to 1774. And you had to argue for the Americans for saying that we just want a representative and stop the tax on tea and paper. Do you think you could convince Parliament that this is a bad idea?
I don't think I could be able to convince them, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I'll be brutally honest. Well, I mean,
the person would be like, what the hell is coronavirus? So, like, the Black Plague is back.
Yeah, essentially. Well, I could try and convince them and say, like, look, you're going to have, I don't know, some random orange tanned person with weird hair who's gonna just say a bunch of random stuff, which random insults, and that's going to be your president for 4 years, then you're also going to get, you know, involved in the Middle East. You're going to get involved in, they didn't even know what the Middle East is, actually, Jesus. But you're going to get involved in some...
Well, they know what the Middle... They
probably know what the Middle East is, yeah. I mean...
If people aren't getting this joke, it's a lot of my friends that, like, yeah, they're complaining about, like, everything America goes, just because, like, I'm an American in the UK, and they're like, oh, your country's insane. Like, how do you feel? And I always just respond to them, like, all you had to do was give us a representative in parliament and stop the tea on tax, on tea and paper, and all of this could have been avoided. Like, all of it could have been.
Okay, right. I'll try and answer your question. I think if there's a will, there's a way. Yeah. I think if there's a will, there's a way. I think I will try my hardest to try and convince them to say this is a bad idea, and to say, look, I will explain to you what has happened and how bad it is to have this, you know, situated. Like, what? Yeah, I'll try my best.
Everyone listening, that they don't, this is just like a hypothetical joke scenario.
Oh yeah, cool.
I'm not saying that the American experiment of democracy is a failure. I'm not saying it was a bad idea, and I'm not saying that we should go back under the king and queen, because, like, obviously Scotland might be leaving soon, and, like, your government has its own issues right at the moment with Brexit.
Oh, man.
But it's just something that it is funny, though, because a lot of, we always take context of history out of place sometimes, and it is just so strange that you always have the butterfly effect, and just a lot of the stuff that's going on chaotic right now, it's like, it could have been avoided, but who's to say that timeline would not be far, far, far worse.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's like have you ever watched Avengers, right? The last one. Yeah, it's like the whole, like, timelines and stuff. It's just like all that. Just like, well, what if we went on this timeline? Sure, it'd be okay. And it's like, oh no, it's even worse. And just like, yeah, no, 100%. It's, you know, you just never know. You never know these counterfactuals, whatever happens.
Yeah, it's just something that I find so strange about a lot of what's been going on. And it's also really, it's just weird to think about, like, the fact that the university I went here in Glasgow is twice the age of my nation.
God, that's like, what? what the fuck?
But when you, like, grow up in America and live in America, like, we think America is the world. And it's like, we're not.
Yeah.
You got the same thing in Britain, though. There is this.
Oh, British, yeah. No, it's like, oh, yeah.
I feel so at home here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, honestly, that is the one thing that pisses me off the most, though. Like, the UK people kind of acting like, oh yeah, we run the world. Oh, it's like, we do it our way, because, you know, it's like coronavirus. Like, oh, we'll do it our way. And it's like, no, you idiot. Like, no, just look at what New Zealand did, okay? And just copy that, okay, please.
It's just like, the thing is, though, is like, the UK could actually copy New Zealand, because they could have literally done it.
This is the thing. And people say, like, oh, you can't compare New Zealand because New Zealand's got like 6 million population. No, you could generally, like, New Zealand and the UK are basically, I'm not gonna say the same size, but like, actually, are they the same size? I don't know, but like, they're kind of similar-ish.
It's also just funny too, though, because, like, there's a meme that I always see of a picture, and it's like a mom and dad and the entire family except for one is in matching sweaters, and it's like, and it shows, like, the mother and dad being like England and Scotland, and like then you have like Wales, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia, like all like the sub, like,
oh yeah,
the colonies, and like they're all wearing the matching sweaters, and then there's the one, and then there's like Americans, the kid in all goth. And it's just like, Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's just true. And that's the thing. That's what I get annoyed with. Sometimes with my country, I just get annoyed. Like, I'm not saying, like, I don't, because there's some people who's just like, oh, I'm not British, I hate my country. And it's like, come on. Like, living in the UK is like a huge privilege, I think, to lots of people. I don't think a lot of people think like that. I think a lot of people think UK's got problems, and maybe you feel like this sometimes with like US, maybe, like, people complain about.
You also
US.
Have to remember, though, I'm also in Scotland. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. They sorry, have, like, they have a different Scotland. View. Of, yeah, completely. But like, this is the thing. Like, I find sometimes, like, people, let's say in England, for example, complain about our government, or complain about like the issues that we have, and we have loads of issues that we need to rectify still. However, at the same time, I think it's still a very big privilege to live in a Western democratic government, like, democratic country, where we are able to vote, we're able to, you know, have free speech, we're able to, you know, walk outside and, you know, actually be able to do, okay, I mean, not right now, but like, you know what I mean? Just like, we need to understand. There's an outside world. What? Oh my God. But like, you know, it's like, I find people need to, yeah, like people need to find some sort of like, you know, I'm happy, I'm privileged to be in this position right now, you know. I think people need to find that. That makes sense.
It's so true, and it is very strange just living in the UK, because you guys technically don't have a constitution. Like, you don't have a Bill of Rights.
No, that's the thing. No, we don't. Yeah.
And you guys have this thing called like business control, like business oversight, which actually forces competition. Like, I have more than 3 options for internet instead of like place in the United States where you only have the 1 option. Like, it's kind of strange how like the free market in America is like free market incites competition. It's like, it does at the beginning, but no,
and it just stops. Yeah.
It's weird how this, the socialism actually kind of pushes for competition. And it's, but no, it's strange though, because you don't have, there's something to be said for having rights, because like in America, you know what your rights are, because you have your state rights, you have your federal rights. Yeah. And like, the state has rights as it, but you also have like, I have rights protected me being in from my home state of Massachusetts. Like, yeah, they don't protect me when I go into another state. Yeah, then there's other rights, but you have your federal rights, you have your state rights, you know what the rights are. But the problem is, because we've set these in stone, I'm just using quotation marks, people's stone, they make it difficult during a pandemic. We're here in the UK, like, you guys are run by case law and parliament law, where there's lines they know not to cross because of rebellions. And they've kind of learned from a lot of countries openly revolting, kind of like the United States, like, don't cross certain lines without representation, or don't piss off the Scots because they'll try and kill you guys again. Like,
oh, yeah, completely. Like, definitely don't piss off the Scots. That's the one thing. Yeah, no, definitely.
But no, it's like, there is this weird situation where, like, you guys have found the lines. You don't really necessarily have to write them down, but they're unwritten rules of rights.
Yeah, that I think sometimes.
But you can adjust it better during a pandemic, because there isn't, you don't have to fight against the law when it's like stay in your house and you have home orders, or forcing you to wear a mask, because there isn't somebody telling them they can't do it. And like, like, now you're always the fear. It's like, oh, they've enforced this power, and like, when is it going to stop? But it's like, I feel like for the most part, the British governments as a whole, like the Scottish Parliament, for the most part, they have the people's best interests at heart. But you guys also have elections faster than we do. You have them more often than we do. You have votes of no confidence. If your Parliament members break the laws that they set down, like, you kick them out of Parliament really fast.
Uh-huh. No,
like,
I think
how many people resigned or were forced to resign by their constituents, like, in the first lockdown? It was something like 23 across the UK, Scotland, and Wales, like, the first, like, couple of weeks. Like, I know there's probably more.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of different. Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's it's always interesting, actually, to hear an American perspective on our kind of, like, because it must be such a weird thing to look at our political system, where it's, like, unwritten things, where it's, like, American systems, everything's written down. And, like, this is the thing. Sometimes, like, I think it's something that it's, like, a written constitution or an unwritten bunch of laws. It's always got a lot of its pros and cons, and sometimes, like, I think it's good that we have a system, like, yes, some of it's unwritten, and it's kind of good, because we can have, like, as you said, this flexibility, all this, like, this faster processing, because you can actually do things quicker. But at the same time, I find there's certain aspects where I kind of want something kind of a bit more protected, a little bit more, and something that's like, okay, I know this is what my rights are, this is what's protected, and I know what it is.
Yeah, because when you guys cross the line, it causes wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the reason that they stop is because these things like rebellions happen.
Yeah.
Because there's something like 8 Scottish revolutions that happened throughout.
I think so. I'm not sure.
I think the one that everyone knows in America, the William Wallace one, I think was the 3rd or the 4th. Then Robert the Bruce was the 5th or the 6th. But there was a bunch afterward. Like, it's
interesting, yeah.
But most of the times, so those revolutions were far, like, under Robert the Bruce, they did get their independence back.
Yeah.
But it is kind of strange when you look at the different revolutions, because, like, they were not always just rebelling for their independence, even though most of the time they were. But a lot of times it was, they're just rebelling for better treatment. Like, you cross the line, we're going to stop. And it is a very, and like, a lot of your international relations, like, when it came to Ireland, like, that was like, Ireland was just a bloody history across the board. But it's strange because you're at this, and it's weird because the fact, like, oh, it is nice because you can adjust it, but at the same point, it's like, when you guys cross the line,
oh, Lord.
It's not like, oops, I made a mistake. Like, People die.
I spelled the T.
So it is an interesting thing because, like, I do, under the pandemic, I think you guys have a very interesting system, but a lot more blood was shed throughout the history of the British government to find this nice
line. True.
Like, it's the more civilized, it's one of the strange things. It's the more civilized approach, but it didn't. The way that it became this way was it wasn't civilized to begin with, where America had a very bloody beginning. And we have some big explosions in between, like, well, the War of 1812, the Whiskey Rebellion, Che's Rebellion, the Civil War, and stuff like that. But for the most part, like, you don't have a lot of little
things
like you guys did.
I know, it's interesting to kind of, like, compare the history between the UK and the American history. So it's always quite interesting because... it's sometimes you have to, like, I mean, this is with anything in life or anything in terms of, like, politics and stuff. You have to kind of, like, commit the mistake to then, like, okay, I'll never do that. Let's not never do that again. And then let's just try and rectify it and have this kind of system, if that makes sense. Like, I think us people have to, like, make a mistake to actually realize, okay, let's never do that again. And then,
because, you know, like, we're trying to, some people in the United States want a second civil war, but the majority of us are trying to avoid a second civil war. How many civil wars has the UK government gone through? If you talk about the rebellions, technically you could even call the American Revolution a civil war.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm trying to think. Yeah. I think we have, don't know how many, how much, like, number wise in terms of, because I'm not super good in terms of the exact rebellion stuff, but I don't know, probably a lot. Probably,
yeah. Like, that's the thing. And that's a strange thing about it. It's like, it is nice, the system that I have. Like, I do like a lot of things, but I also have to remember, you guys had a long history getting there. Like, America's still not even in our, we're still in our infancy. We're in our third century.
Yeah. That, like, I think is mind boggling to a lot of people. The fact how young America is. It's
the American experiment. Like, we still really are. And I think that's a really important thing. And it's just, there's a lot of history that I think there's also a lot of history that we know, but we never compare or contrast it to other things. Because, like, America is a young infant of a child. And, like, there's, like I said, there's some things I don't like about the UK government. There's some things I do like. I still find it strange that England doesn't have its own parliament.
I
find that strange. Like, there is an English parliament, but your English parliament is the UK parliament.
Yeah.
Which I find strange.
Yeah. There's been a lot of, I think it was, I don't know, I haven't seen that much discussions about it, but I have seen over the years this talk of English Parliament and to even move part. I think there was even talk recently, actually, of moving Parliament to somewhere up north. I don't know where it was. I think it might have been Durham or York, one of those places. There was, like, all that talk as well about it. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of would have an English Parliament, because no offense to Scotland, but, like, I do get a bit slightly annoyed when, like, the Scots are like, oh my god, the UK government needs to do this, you know, we want to be independent because you're blah blah blah, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm kind of like, if you don't like the way we do stuff, like, just leave. I know that's bad, like, I obviously there's a lot of consequences for it,
I think the problem with that whole entire argument, though, is, like, yeah, I know a lot of English people don't like the fact that the Welsh and Scots are trying to enforce policies on the English.
Yeah, exactly.
But the same point, though, is your parliament controls the entire kingdom, like, United Kingdom. Yeah. So it's interesting how, like, you have a lot of English people like, oh, why are the Scots and the Irish and the Welsh influencing us? Like, just leave us alone. But exactly. It's like, you've been messing with them for so long.
Exactly. So true. Oh, fuck, I didn't think about that. Yeah, no, it's always like that.
That's the reason I find you not having an English parliament so strange, because the UK parliament should be the way that we look at the US Senate. Like, there is a US Senate, but, like, Massachusetts has a Senate. We call it the Massachusetts General Court. Every state has its own Senate. And that's where they're using the argument where they're trying to look at making DC a state. I understand it, but it's like, the point of DC being a district and not a state is because we don't want to have, like, is DC now going to have its own Senate?
Yeah, like, it's so many complications.
There's a reason why we did it this way. And, like, I understand the other arguments, but it's like, we're reevaluating pros and cons. And, like, that's the one thing I just find strange as an American, how you don't have a separation of state and federal government in England. Everyone else has it, except for the country that rules all the other countries.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though. I think I kind of like it. our system like? How's that how it is? Because the thing is, I look at the America, I look at how the US, I mean, this is personal opinion, by the way, it doesn't mean like you can agree with me here, but like, I don't know, I look at the United States right now, and it's like, I can go into one state and have a bunch of laws, but then go to a completely different state and have a completely different set of laws. I can't sometimes get my head around it. And it's like, well, that's so weird. Whereas I personally, I would say like with the UK, it's like we have a set of laws which are like, that's it kind of thing. But I know what you mean though, in terms of like, it's just you find it weird in terms of like having like why everything's not defined.
Well, you do have different laws between Scotland and England though. So it's the same thing.
We do.
So like we have federal laws in the United States, but the federal laws are like the 5% of the laws, and the rest of our laws come from state, county and stuff like that. And like that just kind of goes back to a lot of the ideology of the United States is so huge. So it makes no sense for DC, which is a very metropolitan area, to make, this is how you're going to live in Alaska.
Oh yeah, completely.
Like, because like DC like bans guns, and it's just like, I'm sorry, if I live in Alaska, like I need an AK-47 because there's something called a grizzly bear and a polar bear to knock on your back door. Like,
of course. That's the thing. It's like, it really depends. Yeah, it kind of does depend on your like, your country and your system. It's exactly. Like I understand, I kind of get why US is like that, because it's such a huge country, but it's like, for me as from a UK person, it's just kind of weird having different laws sometimes.
Well, it's but it's also funny too, because there are certain laws that apply to similar states that you wouldn't think, like both Texas, Massachusetts, Maine, and New Hampshire all follow the same, if you mess with my livestock I can shoot you. And it might make sense for Texans because, like, oh, yeah, of course, cattle rustlers.
Yeah.
But Massachusetts, Maine, and New Hampshire, we have a huge lobster industry. And if you touch another lobsterman's traps, which are those buoys, if they find out, you're probably going to get caught up in someone else's fishing net. Because you're messing with their livelihood.
Yeah.
You don't steal another person's lobster trap. And it sounds weird, like, oh, my God. But, like, but if you caught someone stealing your cattle in Texas and they got shot, like, that makes sense. But, like, it's the same rules out in the sea. Don't mess with another man's trap. And it sounds weird because like those two, like you would not think that Texas and those three states have anything in common where there is this mentality.
It's weird. Yeah.
But it is funny though, what you're talking about, because I understand where you're talking about England, because I find it strange with England, but then it's DC becomes a state. So I get like there's pros and cons on both sides. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't.
Oh yeah, of course. I think both pros and cons are, they have both have complete valid points from both of them. That's what makes it very difficult sometimes to like evaluate what's the best system, because no system's perfect. It's like no theory can explain something. You have to use multiple theories sometimes to explain a concept, for example. It's always, that's what I kind of like about stuff and politics or philosophy or whatever. Like, you know what it is? It's like it always has its pros and cons, and it's always nice to look at the arguments in different ways about it. It's cool.
Well, I also find it interesting, like Benjamin Franklin once said that democracy is the worst
system in the world.
Yeah, worst system ever created, but it's the best one created, that we have right now. It's like it's counterintuitive, but it's true. Like democracy makes no sense. It always reminds me of like Star Wars or Anakin Skywalker's, because like I know it's weird, but like Anakin Skywalker's like, we need a system of government where everyone sits down and talks about the issue and finds out the best solution that works for everyone. Yeah. That's democracy, but it doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. You know what? The thing is, right? It sounds good in theory, but in practice, it's just. I don't know. I mean, for me, like, I like democracy, but I hate it, if that makes sense.
It's one of those situations where you like democracy when you're in the majority, you hate it when you're in the minority. And it's just like.
Of course. Yeah.
That's the thing about it. And it's like, it's always funny though, because people go like, oh, this is majority rule. It's like, yeah, it's democracy. So it's like, if 51% of people say we're doing this like that, it's like, if I don't agree with them, like, but you're in a democracy. Like, what is it? But it's weird because the people that make those arguments usually are the people that are in the minority. But if you were in the majority and then I make that argument, well, that's just democracy, just deal with it. It's just like.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this pisses me off the most. Exactly. Like, I think when Brexit happened, I was like, right, this is, by the way, now I look back at that, at this comment, I cringe at it. It's like, right, you know what, uneducated people need to have be educated to vote or some shit. I actually said that because I was so pissed off that people, like the majority, voted for Brexit. you know, and how close it was. I was like, no, you know, stupid people shouldn't vote or something like that. But now I cringe back at that because it's like, well, no, democracy. You would basically, if they were making the same argument back, I would have been like, no, it's just democracy. But like, that's the thing. It's always like, yeah, democracy is, it's like a love-hate relationship I have it with.
Yeah, I think that's just it. It's just, and I think it's interesting too that you make that statement. Is someone, I think it was on your podcast when you had Jeremy on. When I say that wrong, but he said like, if you don't look back at what you said 6 months ago and cringe, you're not progressing. And I'm like,
Jay,
I look back on the so stuff true. That I said a year ago, I want to punch myself in the face. And I'm like, why are you so stupid?
Oh, mate, when he said, yeah, I think I was like this in the podcast. I was like shocked when he said that. I was like, wow, like huge, huge comment. I was like, fucking hell. I was like, Jesus. That's like deep, very, very deep stuff. And I was like, wow. Like it was really, really big. And I was like, yeah.
Because it means that if you haven't changed your perspective, that means you haven't been educating yourself. And I think that's a huge thing. Like, even if you agree with things, like the truth is like you're gonna change. Even if you're pro something and you still were pro something a year ago and you're pro something now,
yeah.
You on the scale you've moved a little bit. Or like individual topics, like something like, oh, I was pro this for this reason. But that was kind of a stupid argument. It's like, but I'm pro this for this. Like, I've had that happen where the reason I was pro something turned out to be a really stupid argument to be pro for something, but I still stayed pro because of something else that I learned. It was just I didn't change my vote on this issue, but I changed the reason why I'm voting on this issue. Yeah. Or that I care about one subject, and I realized the way that I was voting was actually counterproductive to that. It's really interesting when you look back at yourself and like...
Definitely. No, 100%. It's like, I feel like that as well. I like, there's times where I like look back. Sometimes I went through a period of where I was like quite conservative for a bit. And I was like, support conservative because my parents supported that. I was like, I look back and I'm like, wow, you should have never done that. Never like vote because your parents vote for that sense, you know? Actually think for yourself, like think like, well, what does these issues matter to me personally? And like, what government would help me, you know? And like, or sometimes I looked at Trump supporters as if they were like absolutely stupid, but then looking, actually educating myself, actually thinking, okay, I understand why people voted for Trump, for example, or voted for Brexit. Even though I don't agree with it, I understood it. And that's like the learning curves. And that's the thing, like, you know, what Jay said was something, it really hit me. Cause it's like, if you don't learn something new, or like, even if you learn something, one thing today, or one thing next week, or one thing next month, or a few things, you are progressing in life, and you're progressing your perspective, and you're progressing your ideas, and you're becoming a better person because of it. And I think that's really big.
Well, it's also important too, because we need to always keep learning things. Because like, yeah, in America, where it reminds me, the world right now reminds me of the late 19th century, early 20th century, with like a lot of people closing their borders, their militaries, these weird backroom deals. Like reminds me very much before the Balkan powder keg. But it's also different because, like, is Germany a player? Yes, but not so much. But the weird thing about the United States is still isolationist, but much more eager to get into a fight.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's like you have these combinations, and then the same thing when you're like, yeah, we're having the same issues, like the Civil War issues. Like in the United States, you're having a lot of arguments, people fighting, but they're not divided by border, they're divided by policy. It's neighbor, like this literally is neighbor versus neighbor. It's not, there aren't these solid lines that you're having, and it's very, there's similarities, but I think it's also important to recognize there are differences. Like they didn't have the internet. And you couldn't have listening to an American and Englishman discussing this over the internet, even though we're way far away from America. And it just...
Yeah, of course. Smart.
It really is. But I think this is going to end the podcast. And I did want to thank you for being on.
If
the listener enjoyed the podcast, please consider supporting us. We have a Patreon at Rights and Wrongs Pod. You can also donate on the website or buy some cool merch, such as a hat or a cup. And that's at www.rightsandwrongspodcast.com. If you disagreed or liked something that we said, let us know. Feel free to email me at rightsandwrongspodcast@gmail.com, where you can either submit an article, because I do publish them on the website, or if you want to be on the podcast, we'd love to have you on. So just email me with a topic idea and we can work from there. If you enjoy the conversation with Hamish, feel free to check him out at A Spoonful of News, which you can find on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Are you on Apple Podcast?
Yes, Apple Podcast. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're on Apple. I'm not on that yet. I need to get on that.
It's quite easy to get onto it, but yeah, I can show it to you actually. But...
Yeah, that's just the whole entire House of Steve thing. I don't have an Apple product. Oh, so really? I don't have an Apple ID. So.
Oh no! So mad. But yeah, sorry.
No, but other than that, I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and thank you again for being on, Hamish.
No worries. Thank you. Thanks so much.
I hope everyone enjoyed this podcast. If you did, please think about supporting us. We have a Patreon page at Rights and Wrongs Pod. You can also donate on the website or buy some cool merch such as hats, gloves, cups, like sitting over here. And that's at rightsandwrongspodcast.com. If you liked what you heard or you have an issue with it and you want to be heard yourself, feel free to email me at rightsandwrongspodcast@gmail.com. We have both articles that are written by people like you, because I don't want my voice there because you hear me every week. So this is a place for you, the listener, to be heard. Or contact me about being on the podcast. We'd love to hear you, even if you want to go after me for something that I said 4 months ago. But other than that, I hope you have a great day, and thank you for listening to the Rights and Wrongs Podcast.